Hello and welcome back to a new year on the Social Distancing Football Podcast. I'm Owen Murray, here with my co-host Lathan Joblin. Today we'll be talking about Barcelona, Chelsea, Arsenal, and their situations right now, along with the team of the year from last year and the player of the year.
Welcome to the fifth episode of the Social Distancing Football Podcast. So, do you want to start with Team of the Year and Coach of the Year?
Yeah, sure. So, I think we should just probably run through our nominees. So, in goal for the Team of the Year, just jumping right in, we have Manuel Neuer, Alisson, and Oblak of Bayern Munich, Liverpool, and Atletico Madrid, respectively. Well, there is a shout for Ter Stegen to be on this list. I just feel like he was less influential than these goalkeepers.
And Barca were
horrible. So just his team performance kind of drags him down. The goalkeeper of the year should be Neuer, just based on both his club and individual exploits. Is there a shout for Alisson or Oblak?
Not Alisson. Even though I think Oblak's team was the worst this year, even with the start of 2020, or the start of 2021. 2020-21, but I think Oblak has the best ability. I think Neuer performed was the outstanding goalkeeper of the year.
So especially I would say sort of comeback.
Yeah, and he was horrible last year, or like in 2018-19, he was horrible. So many mistakes, and then he started 19-20 pretty poorly, but picked it up, and I think while he isn't the most consistent out of the three, he may even be the least consistent out of the three to me. He makes the best saves. He makes the biggest saves, and he's
the most clutch.
Yeah. And that's why I think it should be Neuer. Plus, he won the treble and captained Bayern. So
that sounds absolutely reasonable to me. So then, finally, moving on to the right back nominees, we have TAA, Pavard, Hakimi, and Ricardo Pereira. Hakimi's sort of more of a right wing back, but we're going to include him here.
Yeah.
Once again, I think there's an obvious front runner.
It's definitely... But I think they're honestly... As good as Hakimi was, and as good as Ricardo Pereira was, Ricardo Pereira's been injured for pretty much all of 2020. He's really only on here because he's one of the best right backs in the world when fit. Pavard and Trent, obviously, are the two outstanding candidates. Hakimi, while he was amazing at both Inter, or is amazing at Inter, was amazing at Dortmund. Dortmund didn't really do anything. Inter have been stop-start. So it's really down to Trent and Pavard. And I think this is tough because Trent hasn't been amazing this season. He's been injured for a bit of it. He was not performing well before he was injured. I really think
there's no doubt, though, that he's still one of the best right backs.
Yeah, I would say ability-wise, he still is the best right back in the world.
Just did he perform to that this season, this year?
He did at the start. I just think it's just really this past 2-3 months, he hasn't been amazing. But he did end last season, breaking the assist record for any defender with like 16 or 17, I believe. Which was close to De Bruyne, which is crazy. And obviously that included...
De Bruyne had an insane season last year.
Yes, and obviously that included the end of 2019 as well, but the amount, as good as he was at the start of 2020, has to be taken into account. And then Pavard really took that right-back role into his own. I think most people are expecting him to sort of sit on the bench, fill in at center back and right back occasionally, Kimmich to stay there at right back, and then probably Goretzka and Thiago to play at the six for Bayern in the 4-2-3-1 that they played. But when Hansi Flick came in, and I think Kovac did it as well, put him into the six, or moved him into
the
six consistently.
The best six in the world. I'm sure we'll be getting to him later.
Yeah. And really, since 2020, under Flick, he's been the best defensive midfielder in the world. And you could, and if it wasn't for Robert Lewandowski, you could argue the best player in the world.
Yeah.
But I think probably just because of how outstanding Trent was at in the first half of 2020, and really how good we know he can be, it has to be Trent.
Yeah, I don't think there's a question, honestly. I just think that Trent has to be it.
Yeah.
I mean, and everybody's forgetting, but Liverpool won the league. It's not like they didn't do anything this year.
No, I know. I think that they were just very disappointing in the Champions League. They lost to a fairly poor Atletico side.
Game, though.
Yeah. I actually think Atleti were really good in both of those games. And I think the second leg was my favorite game of the year. But I think overall, Atleti were generally pretty poor last season. And really didn't get a good start until the restart, and they still weren't super consistent in the restart. Should we move on to our center back partnership?
Sure. So we have 4 nominees here, but we have to pick 2.
Yeah.
So out of those, we have VVD, David Alaba,
Sergio Ramos,
Thiago Silva.
For me, David Alaba automatically in.
Yeah. I think that's a fair shout. I think his performance last year was just, like, tip-top stuff.
I think he was the best center back in the world last year. Above Van Dijk, above Ramos, above Thiago Silva.
And adding into that, he moved from left back back to center back. So it wasn't like he'd been playing center back.
And, yeah.
All the more crazy.
Now, for the other center back, I think it's very close. I think Virgil van Dijk can't play the rest of 20, or didn't play really any of the second half, or the end of 2020. He was amazing, the best center back in the world for the first two-thirds of 2020, but did drop off from the year before, from 2019, where he was unstoppable. No one could get past him.
He wasn't quite in Ballon d'Or contention again.
Yeah, absolutely not. Ramos, I think...
So just that lower echelon.
Ramos, I think, proved this in 2020 how important he is. While he's not only the best defender at Real, he is also, I would argue, the most important player at Real. Followed by Benzema, who's been fairly stop-start this season, along with the rest of Real Madrid, except when Ramos is fit. While he was injured for a bit, it wasn't very long. Thiago Silva, Champions League final, best center back at PSG while he was there, now the best center back at Chelsea after that horrible debut.
I think really he's just like the measure of coolness he brought to both those teams.
Yeah,
it's pretty obvious. Like, Chelsea with him in the back four are just, while they're not perfect, obviously, They have a measure of patience that they don't have when that back two is Rudiger and Christensen or Tomori. Or any combination.
And Zuma. And Zuma, yeah, who's been partnering Thiago Silva for most of the season, Zuma looks so much better with a very competent, well-rounded, and, like, cool center back. But I really think it's down to Van Dijk and Ramos.
That's what I was thinking.
And this is really difficult to me because I think Ramos has been more influential, more important out of the two. I think Van Dijk is the better center back. Hasn't played hardly any of this season. For obvious reasons.
Get well soon.
Yes. Yes. And really, I think just the amount of clutch goals, the amount of importance that he brings, the amount of leadership that he brings to Real is why I would put him in above Van Dijk. Because while I think Van Dijk is the second most important player to Liverpool, they've showed that they can cope without him. Real can't without Ramos. They look a shadow of themselves without Ramos.
That's fair.
So I think we should put
Van Dijk on our honorary bench then.
Yes. And for me, that's probably the closest of all of them. Out of all of our nominees. We'll see. All right, left back.
Moving into left back then.
Yeah.
So we have two top nominees.
Yes.
Robertson and Davies. And then Ferland Mendy and Chilwell, who I think are just a little bit below, but they're still nominated.
Yeah. Ben Chilwell really dropped off at the end of, in 2020, along with the rest of Leicester. Between
he's been fantastic at Chelsea, though.
He's been amazing at Chelsea. So that's why I don't think he's in here. I think he deserved a shout because of how amazing he's been at Chelsea. And he still was one of the better left backs, even after a drop-off in 2020. Ferland Mendy, I don't understand how he's not consistently the starting left back at Real. Marcelo's not been good. He's very defensively error-prone. He isn't contributing very much in attack anymore. And Ferland Mendy just looks like the superior left back in all departments.
I think he's probably going to be phased out here, which is, it's kind of what we've been seeing, but maybe it needs to happen a little bit faster.
Yes, definitely.
Marcelo declining and Ferland Mendy sort of ascending to that role.
And as good as Ferland Mendy has been, as amazing of a signing as he's been, I still don't think that he really can be in any huge contention for the team of the year left back.
However, we're going to have a little side competition here of the best Mendy in the world. Then our nominees are Benjamin Mendy, Edouard Mendy, and Ferland Mendy.
So first off, Benjamin Mendy can leave this competition. he's been so bad at City; it's kind of ridiculous ever since his first injury. But yeah, I don't know. I think probably Ferland Mendy, ability wise, and we're probably forgetting Ferland someone Mendy, really big. This is totally off the top of our heads.
Congratulations, Ferland Mendy, you did win something.
Yes.
The best Mendy of the Year award.
Yeah, so back to Davies and Robertson. I think it's Davies. He was put into left back by Hansi Flick for the first time, I think, in his career, as short as it is. He came from the MLS, where he was probably... maybe... Was David Villa still playing when he was in the MLS?
Think so.
I think he was in the top five players when he left the MLS.
Yeah.
Ability wise, maybe not output wise because he was playing for the Whitecaps, but ability wise.
He was the fastest player in the MLS.
Yes, definitely. Along with maybe him. So Davies, David Villa, if David Villa was still playing, I believe he was when Davies left. I can't quite remember though. David Villa, if he was still playing, Davies, Martinez, Joseph. Vela, and maybe Ladero.
Yeah, probably.
Were probably the best players in the MLS. And then he left, was definitely the brightest prospect in the MLS, left to Bayern, and it was the best left back in the world last year for me.
He was the best left back on the best team.
Yeah.
So.
I don't think there's any argument for him, or against him, I mean.
Yeah. Not that Robertson was bad.
Yeah, Robertson was amazing and is probably the most well-rounded left-back in the world. I just think last year Davies was so good attacking-wise. And I think that if he can fix some of his defensive positioning, he is nailed on to be the best left-back in the world. Even with the likes of Teo Hernandez and Sergio Reguilon performing amazingly. Yeah.
Okay, well, that completes a back five of Neuer, Trent, Alaba, Ramos,
including the goalkeeper. Never mind. Yeah. Well, center defensive midfield is incredibly easy, but our nominees are Kimmich, Casemiro, and Fabinho, but it goes to Kimmich without a question.
What a surprise.
Yeah. Best.
There's not too much that we need to say about that. He was the best right back in the world. Best. And then he was the best CDM in the world.
Yes. I think that he was in contention for the Ballon d'Or if it wasn't for, or should have been in contention for the Ballon d'Or if it wasn't for Lewandowski. If the Ballon d'Or obviously continued, should have been in the top three above Ronaldo for FIFA the best, I believe. And I think he was really in the top three players of the world in 2020. He was amazing. So yeah, we can move on from that quickly. There's no point in arguing against him.
Casemiro was good though.
Yes. So for the rest of center or for the rest of the midfield, we're picking one standard number 8 central midfielder and a attacking midfielder just to give a bit more depth and fairness to the rest of the attacking midfielders. So in center mid, who do we have?
We have Thiago, Leon Goretzka, Henderson, and Mateo Kovacic.
Yeah.
So out of those,
it's pretty easy, I think, in my opinion.
Mine goes to Thiago.
Yeah, agreed. Thiago is the best.
I think Goretzka was good, but
Goretzka was good, but really he wasn't good until the restart. I mean, he was fine before, but not until the restart. Henderson and Kovacic were also good, but I think out of the three, I would argue that Henderson has the least amount of technical ability between the four of them. Excuse me, I can't count. I think Thiago is the most, then Kovacic, then Goretzka, then Henderson. While Henderson does have the most leadership and maybe the most robustness out of them.
I mean, if I was building this team to be a team to play a full season, I would honestly probably put Henderson in here.
Yes, Henderson, but Goretzka, or Kovacic, I think.
Best players of the year, I think it has to go to Thiago, right?
I think Thiago as well. And he hasn't been amazing at Liverpool, but he also hasn't had a string of games between COVID, injury, and yeah, it's just been difficult. But I still think that he'll probably kick on in the second half of the season, even though we haven't even hit the end of the first half. And yeah, I just think that Thiago is going to end up being amazing at Liverpool and was the best midfielder of 2020, along with Kimmich. Now, central attacking midfielder, our nominees are...
This is probably a close one.
Yes.
As well.
Very close. This is probably the hardest for me. Kevin De Bruyne, Marcus Llorente, who we've put in here because really, after the restart, he evolved into an attacking midfielder / right midfielder cutting inside for Diego Simeone. So Kevin De Bruyne, Marcus Llorente, Thomas Muller, Giovanni Lo Celso, and Bruno Fernandes. And now I love Giovanni Lo Celso, but I'm immediately taking him out of this because he hasn't done much this season. And really, he didn't kick on until February. So as good.
Yeah, I mean, I really wish he could be in here.
But there's not an argument for him. And Bruno.
We also.
And honestly, neither is there for Marcus Llorente, as amazing as he's been, because he also wasn't really an attacking midfielder until the restart.
He was super good. He just, again, doesn't crack that really super top. So it's really down to KDB, Muller, and Bruno.
And this is really difficult because Bruno has been in the Premier League for all of 2020. And so you can't count any of his time at Lisbon against him, really. And he's been, I would say, the most productive player other than Lewandowski since joining Manchester United. And since Bruno joined, no Premier League team has gathered more points than Manchester United. Not even Liverpool, not City, no one. They've gathered the most points of 2020, I believe. I don't remember. That might actually be since the restart, but they've gathered a lot of points since he joined.
Do you think it's possible? Do you think two of these players would be better than Thiago?
No.
No?
I think Thiago was really good and the second best midfielder in the world last year.
So do we go for an all-Bayern midfield?
I don't think we put Muller in here. I think Muller, as good as Muller was, I don't think he goes in. I think he was the top assister, I believe, right? Was he the top assister? The best Romdeuter. Yeah. He was the top assister continentally, I believe. De Bruyne had the most by league, I believe. With 21 or 20. No, 20. 20.
20.
Equaling Thierry Henry. Bruno was a goal threat. And I think that while he has been the best attacking midfielder this season, I think that the amount of penalties he does get or did get does count against him, which is why I also would take him out and put Kevin De Bruyne in. And while Kevin De Bruyne has been fairly inconsistent this season, he was so good last year. He hasn't been bad this year. And I think definitely he was the best attacking midfielder last year.
I think if Bruno keeps performing, though, he probably has merit to be
in here,
the best attacking midfielder next year.
Yes, and we'll definitely
see where we stand in 12 months' time.
Yeah, and Bruno's only like 25, so
he does have time on his side. Okay. Well, so if we're going to go with KDB there, let's complete that midfield. It's not going to be all Bayern. It's going to be Kimmich, Thiago, and Kevin De Bruyne. So then just onto our front three.
So left wing, we have Neymar, Ronaldo, Son, Mane, and Kingsley Coman. This might be controversial. I think it's Neymar.
I think you might be right.
I think he was one of the best players last year. And he got a ton of hate for his performance in the Champions League final. I think he was the best player in the first half.
I mean, all of PSG didn't take their chances, but I feel like they could have won that game.
I think they had the better chances. I think Bayern had more chances, I believe, if my memory serves me right. But I think PSG actually had better chances. Both Choupo-Moting and Mbappe missed basically an open goal. And if either of those had gone in, I think PSG could have easily won it.
I'm also interested to see how he does under Pochettino.
Yeah, me too.
If you haven't heard yet, if you're living under a rock, Pochettino has been given the job at PSG.
But I mean, that was literally like 3 hours before recording.
And so I'm really interested to see how he fits in there.
Yeah.
And what's going to happen.
I think once he comes back in January, I believe, or this month, he'll probably end up being the best player in Liga easily. I think he'll do really well.
Do PSG have another chance to, do you think, make a Champions League final?
No. I think they can make the semis. I think they'll still win Liga, probably the Coupe de France, and what's the other one?
The Trophée des Champs.
No, I think that's their version of like a community shield. I think it's the Coupe de la Ligue.
Oh yeah, that's it.
I believe.
So many French names.
Unless that's just FIFA's made up version, that could totally be it too.
Sure.
I don't really care about the French cup competitions, but
what for you here puts him above Ronaldo? I mean, because I feel like those two are probably the main.
Yeah.
Choices.
Coman's in here because he was probably, him and Kimmich were probably the best players in the Champions League final.
I mean, he did score the
goal. I would say, he was really good in that game. And he's been really good this season too, since Sané joined. He's been giving Sané a real challenge. Son, mostly, and he was injured for a lot of the first half of 2020. And I would say he's mostly in here because he's been within the top three players of the Premier League this year. Ronaldo, obviously amazing last year, continuing to score this year. So I think, and then Mane, the same. So I think those are really the only three that you could argue. But
tight.
I think it's Neymar because Neymar, I don't know. He's just different from the other two. And I think Neymar was better than Ronaldo. I actually think Ronaldo and Mane were pretty similar levels last year. And Ronaldo also played a good bit through the middle, got more penalties probably than both of them. I think it's Neymar.
Okay, so next up we have a list of 8 or 9 nominees for striker, but I have one question for you, and that is, who is the striker of the year, and why is it Robert Lewandowski?
Because he was also the best player of the year.
Just to run through the list, we have Lewandowski, Erling Haaland, Mbappe, Kane, Immobile, Lukaku, Ibra, and Benzema here, but I don't think there's a question.
Yeah.
Haaland was very good. Kane's been very good. Benzema is probably one of Real's, well, he's definitely one of Real's two most influential players.
He is the second most influential player, I would say.
But it's Lewandowski.
It's Lewandowski. I don't even remember how many goals he scored. It was absurd. It was too many.
52?
We're moving on.
Right? Okay. So then into the final position, we have right winger, obviously, with Serge Gnabry, Salah, Messi, Sancho, and Di Maria. Thoughts?
It's messy. It is messy. But some of these players were so good.
I don't think he's as far ahead as some people might think he is.
I think he is. He got 23 goals, 22 assists or something like that. That's crazy.
No, I know, but I just don't think he might not be far. Like, there are some people who could, like, theoretically challenge him for that.
I think the only one in here that can challenge him is Salah. I think Gnabry was great, was nowhere near Messi's level. I think
no.
Sancho was great. Sancho was amazing, nowhere near Messi's level. Maybe kind of close. I don't know. I think Sancho was great, but not near Messi's level. Di Maria was great, nowhere near Messi's level. Salah was amazing. Probably the closest to Messi as far as right, if we're saying right wingers only.
But still not.
And
realistically,
Messi was still probably Messi was definitely the most well-rounded and I would say important player last year to Barcelona or to any team.
Oh, yeah.
And Messi's dropped off, but I would say part of it is his age. Part of it is slowing down because he's 33 at this point, I believe, maybe 34. But he's also playing in one of the worst Barca teams in forever, in a long time. And
he's basically trying to drag them single-handedly.
Yeah, and now since Fati's been injured, Dembele helped out a bit, but then Dembele got injured. He started today, though. Braithwaite, he's actually done really well, but he's Martin Braithwaite, not Lionel Messi. Luis Suarez is left. Griezmann's been mediocre. He's had good moments. He had a good run of like 8 games where he actually played really well, I think, and got like 3 goals and 3 assists or something, which is good output. But I don't know. I just think that it was messy. And 20 plus goals and 20 plus assists, while those aren't maybe the numbers that people would expect from Messi, those are some of the biggest numbers. Like I think that's some of the most, that's maybe the most assists he's gotten in a really long time, I believe. So really I think the main difference with his goal drop off was he had to play deeper to get involved with the play to string Barcelona together.
I mean, there's nobody really who is facilitating play like him.
Yeah, I think the main issue was just that he had to cover more for Barcelona these past 2 seasons, this season and last season. He had to cover more for Barcelona. He had to drop deeper. He had to be more involved. He couldn't just sit up front. I think that maybe Ronald Koeman isn't utilizing him correctly this season, and should push Messi up further. Now that we have Pedri and Coutinho, who can do some form of, you know, creativity and stringing together. And Pedri's been great. So
he's been maybe one of Barcelona's like top 3 players, probably.
Definitely. So I would say Messi for right wing. And
okay.
Then for coach of the year, before we get on to who we actually think it is, I have a couple of nominees. Diego Simeone, because he really pulled Atleti together at the restart for the most part, and they've been amazing, probably the best team in the world this season, excuse me. Julian Nagelsmann got Leipzig to a third place finish, I believe, challenged for the title for most of the season, and got them to a Champions League semifinal. Stefano Pioli, who I actually think comes closest out of any manager to winning this, besides the actual winner. and Jurgen Klopp because of how amazing Liverpool were in the league. And the Leon manager, Rudy Garcia, actually, I think was amazing. And I don't actually, I think he's the worst manager on this list, probably by a lot. But getting Leon to a Champions League semifinal, beating Manchester City and Juventus along the way, they've been absolutely the best team in France this year, next to them and Lille. I think they've been better than Lille, though. And they were really one of the best teams in France in general last year. So I think, but in the end, it is Hansi Flick.
There's only one winner, right?
Yeah, won the treble with his first ever head coach job. Yeah. All right, it's yeah. Hansi Flick.
There's no beating around the bush.
Yeah.
It's Flick.
But I think Stefano Pioli definitely deserves a shout for it because of how amazing AC Milan have been, really, definitely since the restart, and really they've been pretty decent. They've been decent for decent or amazing for most of 2020, if not all of it.
I think they've been very good.
No, I know. It really, until the restart was when they kicked on and were stringing together win after win after win.
Well, Pioli was really good, but we move. It's Flick. Do you want to run through the whole starting 11?
Yes. So we have Neuer at the goalkeeper, Trent for right back, Alaba and Ramos for center back, Alphonso Davies at left back, center defensive midfielders, Joshua Kimmich, then our center mid slash attacking midfielder are Thiago and Kevin De Bruyne, left winger Neymar, striker Lewandowski, right winger Messi, and then the coach is Hansi Flick. And I think that's a pretty good team of the year.
Yeah. So we'll be right back after this to talk about Barcelona, Chelsea, and Arsenal, so don't go away.
Welcome back to our second segment of the show, where we talk about Barcelona, Arsenal, and Chelsea, three clubs that are in
crisis.
Crisis for two of them, and a bit of an inconsistency for Chelsea. So let's start with Barcelona. Get the non-Premier League team out of the way. It's bad. It's really bad.
It's not good.
It's not good. Ronald Koeman is not amazing. Fati is injured. Braithwaite is their main striker.
When's Fati supposed to be back?
Like early February, I think. So another month.
I think it really says something about their situation that kind of their season.
They're an 18-year-old. Two 18-year-olds are like their second best players of the season or this season. There have been good signs, though. Dest has been amazing. Well, really good. 100%. Maybe not amazing. Araujo, he has maybe had one or two errors, but he's been pretty good. The introduction of Oscar Mingueza, he's been pretty good. Maybe, again, with one or two errors, but overall, a good center-back prospect. They do get Tadebo back this window, so I assume they already have him. So hopefully he'll bring depth. He was really promising, and I would say the most promising out of the three before he got loaned out, and they were handling his situation horribly.
I think the issue with Barcelona is that pretty good is not good enough.
Yes. I mean, they look just like a fifth-place side right now. It's kind of sad.
You cannot be good enough to play at Everton. You have to be good enough to play at Barcelona.
Yeah. And then De Jong has been very inconsistent. Busquets has been awful. Pjanic has been pretty good, I would say, when he plays. They're not playing Puig. They don't play Alenia. It doesn't make any sense, really. I mean, I feel like Barcelona's best lineup at this point is Messi up top, Dembele, when everyone's fit. Fati on the left, Dembele on the right, Puig, Pedri, and De Jong as a midfield three. Araujo or Todibo when Todibo, if Todibo comes back and plays well. Araujo and Longley, then Alba, Dest, and Ter Stegen. That kind of feels like their best lineup, which is kind of weird.
I mean, their best squad hope at this point is to get a good president, right?
Yes, the hope at this point is to get a good president. They definitely need... I think they should probably stick with Koeman for the season, unless it's like... I don't know. They need, they have to make the Champions League. That they if they don't get fourth place, it's going to be bad. Because I think all of the president... I think if they don't make fourth place, no matter what president they get, they might be screwed. Because every president there is banking on them making in the Champions League.
It's not only like an opportunity to win silverware, but it's also a huge windfall for a team that is struggling in cash, right?
Yeah, I mean, and the amount of money you get from just being in the Champions League is crazy. And so unless they win the Champions League this year, it looks like they could seriously, which they probably won't do that. I can almost guarantee you they won't. There's a lot of doubt from people that they'll actually be in the Champions League next year.
That's crazy.
Obviously, Bartomeu's situation when he was still president was horrible. Messi, I think, is going to leave.
I mean, he's going to play out the season.
He'll play out the season. I think he's going to leave after. And I actually think that Messi leaving, while it'll suck, won't be as bad as people are saying. I think it'll actually open room for Griezmann to give back some money to Barcelona for what they paid for him.
I mean, it'll kind of force them to stop being so dependent on the best player of all time.
Yeah, and I think
not
that
forever.
Yeah,
no matter what.
And I think that say Messi leaves at the start of the summer, which I kind of think that his future is going to be resolved very early on in this summer. But say Messi leaves like in early this summer, the first month of the window. That means that they can find a good coach, whether they promote Xavi, which I don't think they should do. I think Xavi's, what is he going to be? The general advisor or something? I don't remember. Xavi, under pretty much every president, is going to be involved, no matter what.
I mean, he should be involved, just not necessarily next season.
The head coach yet. Not yet. Coaching in the Qatari League with the best team in Qatar for two seasons is not a good enough resume to coach Barcelona.
I mean, and the issue is if he comes in next season and they're struggling for credibility, they can't sign the top players anymore. And they're really not that team. It puts a lot of pressure on him. I think really what they want to do is get him into a situation where he can really influence the club how he wants to versus having to drag them back to credibility.
Yeah, I actually think that sacking Koeman in the summer, like the very start of the summer, and bringing in Thomas Tuchel and then putting Xavi as the assistant coach, if Thomas Tuchel's okay with that, obviously. I think that would be a good move. Thomas Tuchel's a really good coach. He's going to be out of job for a bit. And as controversial as this might be, Max Allegri, he's been out of job for over a year. He is probably one of the top five managers in the world.
To be out of a job or just like in general?
In general. He's defensive. He's a defensive coach.
Yeah, and if you bring him in, it makes it that much harder. Like, once again, every president has this sort of end goal of bringing Xavi up to be that future of the club. And if you bring in a defensive mindset that's going to be, at least for the near future, sort of how to get the club back to the top. Once they get back there, if you bring in Xavi and he has to retrain the whole club, once again, it's like he's not getting really what I think he's probably going to be there for, which is to re-implement that Barcelona philosophy.
Yeah, but at the same time, he will also, I think, gain more... If Allegri is the head coach, he will gain more experience from Allegri because he'll learn how to coach a defense, which he probably can't do very well right now. Maybe he can. He was a fairly defensive minded midfielder. But I think Allegri will, if they brought Allegri in, I think that would be guaranteed fourth place.
Just on the basis of
Allegri being an amazing coach.
And you can,
he'd fix their defense.
You don't have to you score three, we'll score four.
Yeah. He'd fix their defense. Messi could sit further up and string together attacks well. He'd have Fati and Dembele back. He'd have, he could do something with Griezmann. He'd really be the first world-class coach they've had since Luis Enrique, I believe. Another option is Ralf Rangnick, who they could bring in. He would fix their recruitment if they gave him a position other than, both first-team manager and higher, I guess. He'd fix their recruitment. He's a great coach. And could coach attacking football. It wouldn't be possession necessarily, but it'd be attacking.
Which is what they want, right?
They want possession. They want possession and attacking, but other than Pep, there really isn't a good possession attacking possession based system coach, I feel like, that's available. Poch recently taken. Pep not available.
Do you think Lampard could be available?
Not at least for another 2 years or a year at least.
If he shows up, not this summer. If he shows up in a couple summers, do they take him?
No, I don't know. It depends. I don't know. It just depends. It really is difficult because we're getting to a point in the season where if Koeman doesn't string things together or fix things, if they don't get into the top four, really by the end of January, mid-February, probably, he should probably be sacked because they have to make the top four.
Can they bring in someone who'll have that immediate impact to get them in
Allegri. The top four? Allegri. Will have that immediate impact, I think.
Are they willing to endorse that defensive game?
Yeah, I don't know. I think at this point, the board, I think it just depends on who becomes president. If Victor Font becomes president, probably not. They'll probably hire Xavi, miss out on the Champions League, finish fifth or sixth, and be screwed for 2 years. I think Victor Font has the best long-term view. Maybe he and they might be screwed for this season and the next season, but after that, they should be fine. I don't know. It really depends. We just hit 10 minutes on this part of the segment, so we're probably going to move on soon. But I think, honestly, I don't think they should focus on keeping Messi, as amazing of a player as he is and as much of a club legend as he is. He earns $1 million a week. I think $750,000 from Barcelona. He earns $700,000 a week from Barcelona without bonuses, I think. So
all right.
It's just not sustainable. Sorry. I think that, maybe don't focus on keeping Messi. Let him leave. I think they should have let him leave in the summer. And I'm a Barca fan, so that's, I think they should have let him leave in the summer. But, yeah. So I think maybe if Koeman can't fix things, get rid of Koeman, hire Allegri or Rangnick. Don't focus on Messi. Focus on fixing the rest of the squad. Oh, and don't sign Memphis Depay in the winter. He's another player who wants to drop deeper, like Messi, like Griezmann. He's probably more attacking and number nine-like than both of those, but he will generally want to do a similar thing. So don't sign Depay. I think sign Garcia, and who else are they being linked with? It's Garcia, Depay, Wijnaldum. Don't sign Wijnaldum either. Sign Garcia. They'll have three young center backs if they don't sign Garcia and keep Tadebo, I just don't think they should sign anyone this winter. They're bankrupt, basically. I would just not sign anyone this winter. See what Koeman can do. If he can't fix it, hire Ralf Rangnick. or Allegri. And then let Messi go, then fix things in the summer. I think they just need to let the season go, understand it's a failure already, and fix it in the summer. And pray to God they get into the Champions League. Okay. Arsenal?
All right, let's go.
Yeah. Arsenal, they have won the last two games, are shit.
But and also trending upwards.
Trending upwards for 2 weeks now, or a week and a half now.
So this isn't necessarily a club in crisis, but a club that is moving.
I would argue.
Well, I mean, they're in crisis, but it's not as grave of a situation.
Is Barcelona nowhere near that? Yeah, no. No one except like Schalke.
They have lower expectations.
Yes, I think Schalke is really the only team that, Schalke is probably the only high profile team that's in as dire of a situation as Barcelona. Schalke are probably worse than Barcelona situation wise.
I mean, Barcelona would beat Schalke.
Yeah,
one would. Yeah. One would hope.
One would hope. Bottom zero wins, bottom of the league. I mean, what do they have? Like 3 points. I don't know. They're horrible. And
Well, we've determined that Schalke are in crisis and they're gonna get
eliminated. That's the end of the Arsenal segment.
Woo!
No, Arsenal. I think when they hired Arteta, he fixed them a lot. He got them two trophies, beating Liverpool and Chelsea. Both teams that are probably better than them at the time. Both teams were probably better than them at the time, I would say. And they beat them. And they beat Liverpool twice since Arteta came in. Maybe three times. I believe just twice, though. Saka looks amazing. Martinelli, I don't really know what he's done since he came back from injury, but he was amazing before he got injured.
He's been pretty good. He played well in the Chelsea game.
Okay, cool.
Emile Smith Rowe.
Emile Smith, he's like 19 and doesn't have much game time, but he has looked really good. Tierney, obviously amazing. Gabriel's looked great.
Invulnerable to Maitland, cold weather.
Yeah, and Maitland-Niles looks really good, but they don't play him, or they don't ever play him, really. He should start above Bellerin in 100%.
Oh, well, Bellerin has better foul throws.
Okay.
Honestly, yeah. Like, how is he not?
How can you not take a throw?
I can take a throw in.
Yeah, and we're like, I have a broken leg, and my leg is broken, and I can probably take better throw ins than him, on crutches. Yeah, I can take better throw ins than Hector Bellerin, and I'm on crutches right now with a broken leg, and that says something.
Hector Bellerin needs to go to throw in school.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Anyways, Maitland-Niles, I think that basically what they should do is Arsenal fans need to stop bitching about what formation they play. They basically, whether they set up with a back three, a back four, 4-2-3-1, 4-3-3, or 5-2-3, they play the same way. If they play with a back four in 4-3-3, one of the midfielders drops deep, and it basically kind of becomes a back three. If they play with a 4-2-3-1, that's probably the most different from their back five that they play with a lot of the times. But still, I don't know. And I think they need to probably drop Lacazette, even though I think he's been better than Aubameyang. I think they need to give Aubameyang consistent games down the middle. And probably a 4-2-3-1 with Emile Smith Rowe or Bukayo Saka at the 10. I would try Bukayo Saka there.
They're being seriously linked to Ami Buendia, to get him out of the championship for like probably $25 million, that's an absolute steal.
Yeah, I would not sign Houssam Aouar.
They don't have the funds to sign Houssam Aouar.
I think they probably could get him. I mean, he's going to cost them. Leon wanted 50 mil. Leon wanted like 55 mil for him over the summer. Now they could probably get him for 45, I would say.
But I would argue that right now, to get Buendia in the door for 25 mil, someone who has Premier League experience, which Aouar doesn't, and they're both...
He's creative.
But well, I think Buendia's can really a natural be creator. Extra spark.
Buendia's a natural creator. Aouar isn't. He creates, but he's not a natural creator like Buendia is. And Buendia can play on the right. if needed. I think that they should play, if they sign, I think Buendia is who they should sign. I think Buendia is the only player they should sign this window. Maybe a right back if they really don't want to play Maitland-Niles. And actually, I think Memphis Depay wouldn't be a bad signing for them.
But just once again, it's like, do you want?
He's only five. He's only going to cost them like 5 to 10 million.
Let's see.
Like, there's no risk.
I mean, like, how much does he get paid?
I don't know. He plays in the French league.
You're bringing a good rapper on board. I mean, they had that Chesney video, but yeah, I think Depay could probably top that.
Yeah, I think that if they really don't want to persist with Aubameyang and Lacazette, bring in Depay, play him down the middle. He'd be perfect probably for Arteta. Play Martinelli on the left, probably Pepe on the right because he's been better than Willian because Willian's horrible.
Saka, Emil's left back,
and then you can either play or you can play Saka on the right if you don't want to play Pepe and you buy Buendia and play him down the middle. And then you play Ceballos and Partey or, excuse me, not Guendouzi, or Partey and Elneny at the double pivot. Then probably I bring William Saliba in too because he isn't playing. And I know he lost a family member, but I think he probably wants to play. Sign him up for the league this season because he wasn't in their Premier League squad. Or Europa League. I think he was in their cup squads, just not the Premier League or Europa League squads.
Really?
Like, yeah.
I thought it was in the squad.
I think he was in their cup squads. So bring him into the squad this year. This rest of the season. Probably start trying to play Saliba and Gabriel at center back, then Tierney, Maitland-Niles, then Ceballos and Partey at the double pivot, then Buendia if you sign him, then maybe Depay if they signed him, or Aubameyang up top, then Martinelli, Pepe, or Saka on the wings, one of those three.
I mean, Saka's been way better than Pepe recently.
Saka's been their best player over the past couple of weeks,
I would say. I don't see a reason to stop playing Saka on the right.
There isn't. It's stupid. This season is a throwaway for Arsenal already. They're going to finish probably mid-table and so they just need to play their youngsters. And I think they need to stick with Arteta too, because if they don't, then...
They can't go through another upheaval right now.
Like, yeah, when you sign a coach like Arteta, you can't sack them before they get at least one full season in. He's like 38 years old. It's his first ever job. They signed him for a long haul. So you have to give him a whole season. He's not going to get them relegated. He's too good of a coach to get them relegated. I don't think he's an amazing coach, but he's a decent coach. And
hey, they'll win the championship, okay?
They're not going to get relegated. They're going to finish mid-table. He should play the youngsters like he's doing the past like 2 weeks. And the only way I can see them even making sense is if they firing Arteta is if they bring in Ralf Rangnick, like I said, for Barcelona. And give him, I would say the only thing that would make sense is if they fire, I believe he's their technical director, Edu, and or maybe sporting director. He's very important in the recruiting process. Is if they fire Edu and Arteta, and then bring in Ralf Rangnick and have him and give him a huge role in recruitment and a good team in recruitment, and then also have him be the head coach. That's the only way that I think would justify sacking Arteta is if they do that. That's the only thing. Maybe Petr Bosch too and sacking Edu, but those two. That's it.
Yeah.
Mostly Ralf Rangnick.
Ralf Rangnick, hottest coach on the market.
Somebody I just don't understand why no one's like, I know he was almost at Milan and then didn't go because Pioli got them playing so well. But yeah. Alright, we just hit another 10 minutes on this segment. So do you think that covers Arsenal?
I mean, I think we've established that they're doing better than Schalke.
Better than Barcelona.
worse than
Chelsea,
probably. We'll see. Yeah. But that's what we're going to talk about next. It's a smooth transition.
Yep. So Chelsea won the summer transfer window, obviously. I think Lampard's a fine, okay, decent manager, not amazing, you know? And Timo Werner's movement has been amazing. He isn't finishing chances is the issue. Everyone's saying they should start Olivier Giroud. I don't think they should. They should start Tammy Abraham if they're not going to start Werner. Tammy's been the most consistent striker this season for them. They look horrible, basically. Whenever they don't have Ziyech in the side, they look bad.
I just don't understand why they don't put Giroud on in games like the City game today. They were down 3-0 by half.
Yeah, he should be like a super sub.
I was watching it. It's like, why is Giroud not in yet?
Yeah, they should put him up. If they're
off the bench and score, he's proved that.
I know. If they're down or need a goal, they put him in 60th, 70th minute, and he'll probably score, is what they should be doing with him. Because I think he's the most immediate impact player they have. Maybe Homer Pulisic. But yeah, I think right now, with Ziyech injured, they should line up with Werner. While I think they should play Werner down the middle when Ziyech is fit, because he's not, I think their front three should be Tammy, Werner on the left, and Pulisic on the right. Their midfield three should be Kovacic on the right side of the midfield three, which is where Kai Havertz has been playing when he plays, but there's an issue, which is fine if they have Pulisic on the right. That is perfectly fine for Kai Havertz. But when they have Ziyech on the right, they play in the same space, and Kai Havertz can't do anything because Ziyech is collecting the ball more off the wing.
Yeah. It's just you can't stifle both of them.
Yes. Because like, Kai Havertz is wanting to move up. Because Kai Havertz is wanting to move into an advanced midfield position further towards the right, which is exactly what Ziyech does once he collects the ball and gets involved in the play, playing as a right winger. So what I think they do is they play Kovacic on there, who can be more defensive, sit a little bit deeper. Conte at the six, because he's been amazing this season, and drop Mount. As good as he's been, Kai Havertz is a better player. Give Kai Havertz a consistent run of games, try to get him some confidence, get him involved, play him on the left side of that midfield so he can push forward. And I would say only do this, though, if they can do this, they can utilize him two ways on the left. If they have Werner on the left, they can try and have him go super wide and cover a lot of the left side while Werner is completely inverted, you know? The only problem with this, he typically does that on the right side when he plays on the right side of a midfield, which is the main issue.
Their issue is that they stifle their players by playing them in the same space, which is what you're explaining. Yes. So Lampard needs to figure out his way to get all his players firing and find them all in their best spaces while not while not having them run into each other.
Yeah. I think everyone agrees on the back four. It's probably Chilwell, Thiago Silva, Zuma, or maybe gives Fukayo Tomori some games because he's still young. Edouard Mendy at goal and Reece James at right back, or Azpilicueta, one of those two. Typically Reece James. I think everyone's fine with that. That's not an issue. That's a good back line.
For the most part, I don't know if they fixed their defensive. That's not their big weakness anymore.
No.
Which is, it was probably their biggest weakness last year. Like
goalkeeper and the back line was really their only weakness last year. I mean, I think they scored the most goals in the Premier League last year.
I thought that was City.
Oh, no,
I think it was City.
Yeah. Yeah. It was one of those two. They had an amazing attack last year. I think they drop Mount, play Havertz on the left side of that midfield, and when Ziyech is fit, play Werner up top, Pulisic on the left, Ziyech on the right, because then Ziyech can sit ahead of Kovacic. Pulisic is a natural winger, so he can play wide and cut inside, which therefore leaves room for Havertz to sort of roam that general area and go forward. Werner can play as a standard striker running the lines. And but if they have Werner on the left, the problem is he plays so inverted that some of that space that Havertz wants to run into will already be covered. So I think it really just depends on who they play. But I think Lampard's a good coach. He's not an amazing coach, but he's a good coach. And I think he'll probably figure it out once they have consistent fitness in the team. But yeah, what's your take on it?
I mean, I think that really he needs to decide who he commits to. Hello?
Hello?
You're going to have to cut this out. Sorry, I was just muted.
Okay.
Starting now. So okay. I really think he needs to decide who he's going to commit to. Like, he had all these amazing signings, but the problem is, like, maybe it's, like, not that everyone can fit into the team. So it's who does he decide to commit to and who does he maybe push to the side? Does he keep Mount in the team? Does he keep Tammy in the team? Like, in place of these summer signings.
Mount and Tammy have both been good players for them this season. The problem is that once their signings get rolling, they will not be the best players in the team anymore.
Yeah, so it's like he needs to decide whether he's going to stick with them or put them in. And I think that the best option is probably to start phasing Tammy and Mount out, as good of players as they are.
Well, Tammy doesn't really play that much. Werner takes a lot of minutes. It's just that Mount takes so many minutes, and he's a good player and he's been really good this season. I just don't understand why. Kai Havertz has been poor. Kai Havertz has the potential to be the best midfielder in the world, I think. Mount doesn't. And I think that's the issue. So I think that it's really not too big of a... I think it's just a system issue that Lampard can figure out eventually.
Realistically, though, he probably needs to figure it out sooner rather than later, seeing that, I mean, Chelsea's owner, Roman Abramovich, has a history of pulling the trigger quickly.
I think that no matter what, unless they're not challenging for the top four, which they will be, they'll probably finish in the top four. I can't see how they wouldn't. I think as long as they're in the top four, I don't think he's going to get fired this season. However, I could see him getting fired at the end of the season if they're not in at least third to second.
I mean, if he's not a club legend, do you think he gets... I mean, he obviously gets more leeway, but do you think he gets fired sooner? Like, do you think he could be fired by the end of January?
I think he's already out of the job if he's not a former Chelsea player. Yeah. I think if this was
Sorry.
I think Yeah, I think if it, it
Poch.
I think if it was Poch, I think if it was really any manager who's not a former Chelsea player, they're already out of a job. But yeah.
Well, on Should that we wrap happy it up? Note on Should that wrap extremely it up happy note, please stay in a job, Lampard. We like seeing your Chelsea. We know what they can be. We just really want to see it.
Yep. Thanks for listening this week. Sorry it took so long to get this one out. I had to go out of town and wasn't able to record with Owen. Then I got back. Once we were finally ready to record, I broke my leg, was in the hospital.
Doing a bicycle kick.
Great. Definitely scored. Yeah, I was trying to score a bicycle kick. Scored it, broke my leg. You know, because I'm a smart person.
Yeah.
So, sorry it took so long. This is our 2020 wrap up. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.
Be done with this year.